Welcome to Earth Matters here on Gila Members Community Radio, KURU 89.1 FM. This is Donna Stevens, Executive Director of the Upper Gila Watershed Alliance, and I'm your host for today's show. Today I'm going to be talking with Denise Smith and Terry Timmy from the Office of Sustainability for the Town of Silver City. Welcome, Denise and Terry.
Good morning.
Good morning, Donna.
So I wanted to start with a little bit of background about the Office of Sustainability. My understanding is that the office came about as a result of the 2008 economic collapse and the American Recovery and Reinvestment Act. What can you tell me about that?
Well, this is Denise, and originally we were funded through block grants, through ERA, the American Recovery and Reinvestment Act. We hired a full staff to begin with, including the Energy Sense program, which was low-cost energy efficiency retrofits on over 800 homes.
Okay. And there was another factor in the creation of the Office of Sustainability, the town's Climate Action Committee. Was that part of it, too?
Yeah, actually, the Climate Action Committee came first. It was sponsored by Mayor Marshall, and the committee looked at ways to reduce greenhouse gas emissions. They came up with a climate action plan, and in that climate action plan, it was recommended that an Office of Sustainability be formed.
So it's really fortuitous that they had come up with that plan about the same time as the ERA Act was passed.
Okay.
And they helped write the grants that got the funding for the creation of the Office of Sustainability.
Okay. Were you guys involved back then, or how long have you been there?
It's been about 5.5 years now, and we came in after it had already been set up. The first director of the Office of Sustainability was Nick Cecilio, and he led the office up until about 2 years ago when he retired.
Okay. So what sorts of things was the Office of Sustainability involved in during those early years?
Well, as we said, we had grants through the ERA Act, and there's actually two sets of grants. One was through the state of New Mexico, and the other was directly through the Federal Department of Energy. Both of them were guided us in creating an Energy Sense program that led to us going into various homes around the in all of Grant County, doing energy retrofits and helping people save money on their energy bills. The other things that the grant funded was the solar display at the visitor center, which now provides all of the electricity needs for this visitor center, as well as being a good place to see what solar panels look like, with the parking spot there for at least 4 cars. And what we hope that does is act as a catalyst to get more people interested in solar. Independent of the grant, we also worked on those early years on getting a solar array set up at the wastewater treatment plant. And Nick Cecilio led the office in getting that sort of program where it doesn't cost the town anything to build the solar array, but the town gets the energy from it to run the wastewater treatment plant and pays another company to maintain and operate the solar array. And with that, the utility bills for the town for electricity to run the array have gone down considerably because they're paying a lot less for electric than they would be at their current rates through PNM.
But they didn't have to pay to install the solar array?
No, a company called Affordable Solar came in, and they assumed the responsibility for building and for maintenance of the array through it with a 20-year performance contract. And so they're the ones that are in charge of making sure that it works properly. But then they sell the electricity that it generates back to the city at a lower rate than the town would pay PNM for the electricity.
Okay. I want to go back to something you just said a minute ago, Terry, about the Energy Sense program and when people went, when the teams would go into people's homes to do an energy audit. What types of things did they do?
There was a team of usually at least 2 people that would go into homes and look at whether or not they were losing, for example, if it was a heating season, if they were didn't have weather stripping, or if it was a cooling season and they didn't have weather stripping. And so they were paying more to heat or cool their home. And then they would install weather stripping. They would also, you know, look at other places where they might be losing energy through having electrical appliances plugged in that they weren't using, or mm-hmm. ones that had sort of a phantom use of electricity. They also looked at ways to conserve water. And so a lot of people would have toilets that dripped and mm-hmm. showers that dripped. And so they installed low-flow shower heads and made recommendations for people to get toilet leaks fixed. Mm-hmm. The other thing that they did was to create a way for people to save money on their electrical bills by installing compact fluorescent light bulbs. And we've done some calculations using estimates provided by EPA on how much these various types of changes in people's houses, what it would result in savings to them. And we went into 827 homes throughout Grant County, all the way from Hatchie to up to Lake Roberts, and you know, east to west from Members to the Gila, and even out in Buckhorn. And we spent an average of about $25 in each household on various types of, you know, weather stripping or low-flow shower heads, things like that. And the return on that was, for the homeowners, at least $130 savings in their annual electrical bill, as well as savings of water. So in the entire program, we saved at least 1 million gallons of water that people were using, say, needlessly.
Yeah, that's pretty substantial. Has your office continued to work to promote energy efficiency?
Absolutely. The grant paid for us to go into homes of people in the community, but since we completed those grants, we've been working for the town to make town buildings more energy efficient. I'm sure many of the listeners know Mike Sauber. He was instrumental in going into all of the town-owned buildings, which are actually quite a few. We didn't realize how many buildings the town owns, and many of them didn't have really good infrastructure to make sure that they weren't wasting energy. And he went around to all of those buildings and made recommendations so that the town maintenance department could go in and do the same sorts of things to save the town money on its energy expenses.
And have they made those changes, some of them?
For the most part, all of those have been made, or okay. even some with the newer light bulbs, for example. The city annex just switched out to LED light bulbs instead of the old fluorescent light bulbs. So mm-hmm. the town's continually striving to save energy in all of its buildings.
Uh-huh. Good. I mean, some of that stuff, retrofits can be pretty difficult, but it sounds like you're talking about kind of the low-hanging fruit, the
Absolutely.
Easier things to implement.
Right. And a lot of things that we do also have been make recommendations for people to use available programs that help do those retrofits. For a while, PNM was offering people rebates if they installed certain types of energy-saving features. Same thing with New Mexico Gas Company. They were offering various sorts of rebates. And our office has acted as a more or less of a clearinghouse for people to get information about what they can do to save energy, water, and other things to make their homes more livable and mm-hmm. cost-efficient to live in.
Okay. So what other types of things does the Office of Sustainability do to work with other city departments?
Well, we're under the Community Development Department. I would say that mainly we work with Public Works, their Parks Department, and their Roads Department right now. Their Parks Department, we're working on water conservation in the different parks and their irrigation systems. With the Roads Department, we're working at putting in curb cuts and stormwater harvesting.
Can you explain what you mean when you talk about curb cuts?
Well, the curb cuts in the stormwater harvesting is a way to bring water off the street onto the area that, say, is between the street and the yard to hold that water and keep it from running down into the big ditch mm-hmm. In out of town. So these curb cuts can also put water on people's land if they want it. So some of the folks have opted to have water harvesting basins done in their yard. And all of this helps reduce the amount of runoff that's coming from storms. That reduces the maintenance that the town has to do after a storm to clean up the gravel and the dirt that's come off of some of these streets into the paved streets. But it also reduces pollution going into San Vicente Creek.
Mm-hmm. Because the water running off the street could have motor oil and gas and all kinds of other pollutants.
It could. Yeah. And some people are concerned about that maybe going onto their land or their yard. Mm-hmm. But the plants that grow in these basins help transform those pollutants into nutrients for the plants.
Okay. So it's my understanding that the office developed a sustainability plan to guide the town planning activities through 2030. What sorts of things were in that plan?
One of the things that led up to the plan, this was after our ERA grants had ended, but we still had several people working in the office under the direction of Nick Cecio. First thing we did when we discussed creating a sustainability plan with the town manager and the mayor was to decide, well, what sort of things is a town vulnerable towards? And, you know, so we got together a group of at least 15 to 20 community members from various organizations that looked at what aspects of the town would be vulnerable to climate change, for example, in the future. Okay. And out of that adaptability plan that looked at where our strengths and weaknesses were, we went about writing the sustainability plan that guide us into the types of areas where the town could take strides to improve our ability to be more resilient. For example, some of the threats to the town coming up in the future could be through changes in climate that impact, say, the police or the fire department. Mm-hmm. And so the sustainability plan set up concrete things that can be done to help the town guide itself into the future.
Okay. So increasing temperature, drought, wildfire, invasive species, these are things that could be happening in our future with mm-hmm. a hotter and drier climate. And that would put stress at different times on our emergency services.
Right.
Those during our risk and vulnerability analysis, that came up as our most vulnerable area were emergency services.
Okay.
And so recommendations were made in the plan to help increase our resiliency, basically, to those changes in climate that we might see in the future.
I see.
And okay. It is a plan that's not basically just, you know, do a plan and sit it on a shelf. You know,
right.
We refer to it frequently, and, you know, the town council received a copy of the plan and adopted a resolution saying that the town should take steps to meet the guidelines that were set forth in the sustainability plan. So mm-hmm. part of our office's task is to make sure that we make progress towards those goals that are set out in the plan.
That's good to know, because as you said, a lot of times a plan just sits on a shelf kind of collecting dust.
Yep.
And, you know, nothing ever happens. Mm-hmm. So I'm glad to know that the departments are actually looking at this when they look towards future plans. Well, I want to talk some more about that when we come back after this break. So please stay with us and we'll talk more about the Office of Sustainability with Denise Smith and Terry Timmy. Stay with us. Welcome back to Earth Matters here on KURU 89.1 FM. This is Donna Stevens, Director of the Upper Gila Watershed Alliance, and your host for today's program. Joining me here in the KURU studio in beautiful downtown Silver City are my guests, Denise Smith and Terry Timmy, of the Town of Silver City's Office of Sustainability. Right before the break, we were talking about the plan that you guys came up with for the town for planning until 2030. What other kinds of plans have you guys been involved in?
We have several working plans just in our department. I think there's many other plans in other departments. But for Office of Sustainability, we have a water conservation plan, a community forestry plan. We just finished a bicycle master plan, and we have a strategic recycling plan. And you can find all of these plans on the Town of Silver City website under the Office of Sustainability.
Okay. It sounds like a lot of planning. I mean, you can't do this in a vacuum. You have to work with all the other town departments, it sounds
like. We work with the other town departments, and a lot of community folks have contributed to these plans.
Okay. Well, we're going to talk about some of those things a little bit later in the show, what some of those individual programs are. But I wanted to ask you about the installation of the so-called smart water meters that happened last year and that was fairly controversial. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Well, yes, it was recommended in the Water Conservation Plan. Radio read water meters are a water conservation tool. They track water use in real time, so you can see where the leaks are and fix them. There was concern about the radio frequency transmissions that the meters give off. And we researched this, obviously, before we went ahead and did the smart meter installation. There are emissions, but they are way, way far less than what you would get from using your cell phone.
Mm-hmm. The other advantage to having the smart meters is that it allows the town to identify when people are using their water. And, you know, some people don't realize that they may have a continuous water leak. And the auto-read meters will tell the usage of water like every 15 seconds. So if somebody has even a small drip, it'll change the pattern of that of the water printout that they can get from the utility department. And so when the utility department water meter readers find that type of situation, they now can go out and help consumers and residents figure out, you know, where they have water leaks. Uh-huh. So it's to the benefit of all the residences in Silver City. It also has provided people that use less water with a way to save money on their water bills, because at the same time, the town implemented a different rate structure. Before, it was sort of a one size fits all with, you know, if you use up to 3,000 gallons, it's the same fee whether or not it's used 1 gallon or 3,000 gallons. And so they've made it a rate structure based on smaller increments of 1,000 gallons. So people that use less water will have a lower water bill.
Right.
And if they use more, it goes up, which is the way, you know, most utility systems should work. And that will promote conservation of water.
Right. So people have a monetary incentive to conserve water, because the more they use, the more it costs per gallon.
Right.
Right?
Exactly.
Oh, good. I didn't know that that had been implemented.
And it can also, you know, any resident can go to City Hall and find out, you know, more details about their water usage now than they could before. It was just, you know, you get a reading on your water bill and you don't really know if you're using a lot or compared to other people or not. So
yeah, if you're using water in the middle of the night when you're asleep
because
it's leaking somewhere. Right. I wanted to ask you about other parts of the water conservation plan. What else is in that plan?
Well, I think Terry just covered a few of those that I was going to talk about, but conserving water through the water harvesting, like we already talked about, and that tiered water rate billing system, that the more you use, the more you pay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The less you use, the less you pay.
Right, exactly, which is as it should be, especially in such an arid environment like we have here. I wanted to ask you about something else that you mentioned a few minutes ago, Denise, and that was the community forestry plan. I mean, I don't think of Silver City as being a forest. So what is that? What is that forestry plan all about?
The community forestry plan was funded through the state forestry department. And with that, we were able to inventory all the town-owned trees and realize that really most of the trees in Silver City are privately owned. The only town-owned trees are in the parks and along 6th Street and a couple on Bullard Street. But we also found out that it's about 70% non-native as far as Siberian elm and Tree of Heaven. We also looked at how important trees are for the environment. You know, they provide oxygen, shade, wildlife habitat. They're carbon sinks. They may provide fruit. And, of course, this time of year, we get lots of colorful leaves from our trees.
Right.
Most of the town-owned trees that folks, I think, recognize are in the parks, but also along San Vicente Creek, which we call a riparian area.
So you've given away trees in the last couple of years?
Oh, we've had two wildly popular tree giveaways that were both funded by state forestry. Folks come and are able to pick up one tree per household, and they love it. We've had long lines to get these trees, and all of them are gone within, I don't know, half an hour, 45 minutes from the time they start.
And are they all native trees?
Yes. These are all native trees.
Can you give us a couple of examples of what those trees
were? Mexico olive might be an example.
Okay.
A sycamore.
Yeah, so these are trees that are adapted to our environment here and our low water use.
Yes.
Instead
mm-hmm.
of some of the other trees that would be better, say, in the east somewhere and that have higher water usage, like the ones in Gough Park, for instance, mm-hmm. need more water.
The first time we got our trees from Sunland Nursery in El Paso, but this last time we were proud to be able to support a local nursery, and we got all of the plants from Lone Mountain Natives.
Oh, that's great. Yeah, good. You also mentioned a few minutes ago, Denise, and some of the other plans that the Office of Sustainability is working on. You mentioned a bicycle master plan. Can you talk about that a little?
Yeah, this bicycle master plan was just completed, and it's, you know, basically to improve bicycle safety and enjoyment in Silver City. As with all plans, you know, we make recommendations, goals and recommendations, and then we look for funding to implement those plans. And right now we're in the process of applying to Department of Transportation for funding to do some of the things in the Bicycle Master Plan, like improving the trails, making some of the trails wider through the Big Ditch Park, mm-hmm. and some street bike lane improvements. So we're hoping to get something done within the next couple of years.
That would be great, because I always think that we have the perfect climate here for year-round bicycling, but we just need some infrastructure improvements to make it really happen.
Mm-hmm.
Terry, I know that you've been involved in recycling for a really long time. What sorts of things are in the Office of Sustainability's recycling plan?
Let me back up just a minute before I go to the recycling plan and talk about forestry, one of which aspect sort of relates to recycling is, and you mentioned that right now we're getting all the color from the trees, and with that means the leaves are going to fall off. And every year over the past several years, we've encouraged people to either compost the leaves themselves or take it to the volunteer center for the community garden where they can use fallen leaves. So when you're raking up your leaves, put them in a bag and take them to the volunteer center, and they'll be happy to put them to good use. So the other thing that came to my mind after we finished talking about the forestry plan, and maybe Denise wants to address this a little further, is she mentioned Tree of Heaven, Elianthus, and that's, many people don't recognize that, but they've seen it all around town. It's very invasive. It can be a real pretty tree, but it takes over everything and doesn't provide anything really useful for native wildlife and crowds out the trees that do provide things that are good, beneficial for the native habitat. And so Denise has worked on a grant to try and get funds to help take out the Tree of Heaven, and particularly in the Big Ditch where it's crowding out a lot of the other trees. Do you want to elaborate on that?
Sure. Anna? The town owns only a part of the Big Ditch, and that's called Big Ditch Park, but it runs from College down to Broadway. So in that section, I just applied for a grant that we would work on removing all of the Tree of Heaven, and then over several years, monitoring it, any small plants that come up again, to take them out, so that we would also plant the area with native trees and shrubs and grasses, because if you can eliminate the Tree of Heaven and then plant native plants, a lot of times they can outcompete, as long as you're weeding out any of the sprouts that come up.
Right. And they do sprout pretty prolifically.
Oh, usually just cutting them excites them. They love that. I mean, if you just cut down a Tree of Heaven, it's going to send up a whole bunch of sprouts. Yeah. So this would be chemical control.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, we're going to use the latest research, what's considered the best way to control them. And we're going to be working through a local organization that deals with invasive plants.
So you're still waiting to see if you're going to receive that funding.
That's right.
Yeah, I mean, that's the nature of grants, is that it's kind of a gamble.
Yep.
You know, you come up with these great plans, and then you wait to see if you're going to actually get the money to implement it.
So getting back to the strategic recycling plan that we developed, that came about because we also, another grant that we got mandated that we set up a plan for how we would deal with recycling for the future. And that was also a DOE-funded grant through the ERA Act that came through the New Mexico Recycling Coalition, and it helped pay for equipment at Southwest Solid Waste Authority. But as a part of that, we developed a plan for how we would, what would be the best ways to improve recycling in Grant County, particularly in Silver City. And there were really sort of two major components involved as guiding us into the future of recycling for the community. And one would be to help develop organic waste disposal system, primarily through composting and setting up ways to handle food waste, yard waste, other things. And, you know, that's been an active process going on in the community, both in the Office of Sustainability, and there's a lot of discussions with the Food Policy Council also on how do we go about setting up recycling and composting efforts more so in the community. The other part of the strategic recycling plan was to make sure that recycling is available to everybody in the community. It is easy for everybody in the community. So we've sought out companies that have what's called single stream or mixed recycling, and that makes it a lot more convenient for people. They don't have to sort everything. Mm-hmm. You know, back in the day, they used to, you have to sort different types of plastics, and you couldn't recycle some things, and you could recycle other things, and people got confused, and they didn't know what to do. But because of our work with a company in Tucson, ReCommunity Recycling, we're able to take practically everything now, plastic, paper, and all the metals, you know, tin cans and aluminum cans, mm-hmm. and recycle those just by dumping them all in one mixed container. So the rationale for doing that was part of the strategic recycling plan.
Yeah, the easier you make it for people, the more likely they are to actually
Absolutely.
Do it, right?
Yeah.
I want to ask you a little bit about that when we come back from the break. So we'll be right back in a minute. Please stay with us. Welcome back to Earth Matters here on Gila Members Community Radio, KURU 89.1 FM. This is Donna Stevens, Director of the Upper Gila Watershed Alliance, and your host for today's show. Today, my guests are Denise Smith and Terry Timmy of the Office of Sustainability for the Town of Silver City. Right before the break, Terry, we were talking about the recycling plan, and you were talking about how easy you've been able to make it for residents, how they can just, they don't have to sort things, they can just throw it all in the bin and it gets picked up. I wanted to ask about glass. It's my understanding that glass is no longer recyclable.
Absolutely. Yeah, the glass is a problem pretty much nationwide because companies that used to make glass bottles out of old glass have pretty much gone out of business because it's cheaper to make it out of just sand. And there's a high cost for example, transporting glass because of the weight to someplace that could use it. We tried to set up options for using glass locally and, you know, without the ability to crush the glass into small pieces without sharp edges, which is a glass crusher that can cost $250,000. Mm. It's just not really anything we could do. We're hoping we would be able to collect glass and have it used in roadbed construction, but the glass tended to be a problem mixing it with rock. It would clog the machinery, so the company we were using had to abandon trying to use glass. We looked at the economics of what we could do with glass. And like I said, a crusher, you know, could cost $250,000. Mm. I talked to the people in Santa Fe, and they're going to start shipping their glass to a company in Phoenix. And so I talked to them, and, you know, we could do that too, but it would cost at least $40,000 to ship the glass to Phoenix, in addition to the cost of collecting it at the curbside, which would still be about $30,000 a year. So with those economic roadblocks, it didn't look like there was really a good way to handle glass. And after discussions with the town manager, Southwest Solid Waste Authority, New Mexico Environment Department, we decided it was best to just have glass go into the landfill. Mm-hmm. It doesn't affect anything in the landfill. It's inert once it goes in the landfill. The amount of glass that we know from what we were recycling that we're putting in the landfill now is fairly minuscule part of the volume of the landfill, less than 1% a year of the trash is made up of glass. So it's not a significant component of the landfill. So we weren't too worried about having to discontinue the glass recycling. But everybody, you know, was obviously disappointed that it had to happen. But I think recognizing the economics and the worldwide or nationwide situation of glass recycling has sort of tempered that disappointment.
Right. So, I mean, it really has to pay for itself in order for it to happen.
Ideally, things in recycling do pay for themselves, but there are some cases where that payback is not a direct monetary gain, but something that you're deferring another cost. For example, putting things into the landfill costs, you know, what is called a tipping fee, the amount of money that the town has to pay to dump the trash. Mm-hmm. And so just increasing a little bit of the trash load with the glass did not significantly impact how much the town would have to pay extra in tipping fees.
Right. Okay. And I wanted to check with you about one other thing you said about organic waste, yard waste going to the landfill and your plan for that. Right now, what happens to all that stuff? People like rake their lawn, you know, rake leaves or mow their lawn, rake their leaves, and it goes into bags. And does it go into the landfill currently?
Most of it goes into the landfill. There is a place at the landfill for dropping off woody items, brush and tree trimmings, things like that. But the grass clippings do end up going into the landfill. And those are the types of items that we would like to see diverted from the landfill. In terms of the amount of residential waste that those can make up, somewhere around 20% of the typical household waste stream. Huh. And so if we can get those and food waste out of the landfill, then that would save a lot of space in the landfill.
Right.
And it would also lead to a reduction in greenhouse gas production. In any landfill now, the organic material does break down and give off carbon dioxide as well as methane. And if we can avoid putting those in a situation where they are escaping in the atmosphere and put them in a composting pile where it's converted into a usable form of carbon, then it will, and sequestering carbon dioxide, then it will be a big benefit for all of Silver City as well as the planet.
Right. Yeah, that sounds good. So it sounds like a lot of the stuff that you guys do at the Office of Sustainability really requires money, not unusual, to make it happen. So I wanted to ask, does the town provide money to you guys, or do you have to get money from elsewhere?
Well, almost all the grants that we get have a cost share component that the town pays. But the town also invests in increasing energy efficiency and resiliency wherever it can.
And the town's also been very supportive of us in terms of providing us the space and salary. So, you know, it always amazes me when I look around the country at other places that have an Office of Sustainability, and it may be one person in a town, you know, of 100,000 people, and, you know, here we are, a town of 10,000 people, and I think we really set a high standard for the rest of the country in terms of providing an Office of Sustainability and doing things to improve the community.
Right. Well, I guess your office is saving the town money in certain places so they can use some of that money to pay you guys to write grants to get more funding, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. And Terry, could you tell us about the funding for the baler at Southwest Solid Waste Authority?
Absolutely. I mentioned the ERA grants and funding that went to the New Mexico Recycling Coalition. As part of that, they were involved in setting up recycling around the state, more of what they termed hub-and-spoke recycling, where rather than having all the recycling collected in a community go directly to Albuquerque, it would go, or to Las Cruces, for example. They would set up hubs around the community, around the state, where recycling could go and then be transported elsewhere. And Silver City was designated a hub for recycling, and we received about $300,000 in funds from the Recycling Coalition to invest in a baler, which compresses all of the recycling that we pick up, and then we haul that to Tucson and get paid for the recycling. In the past, the recycling, you know, would just go into an open-top truck and be loose. It would be able to take, you know, at one time maybe 15 tons of recycling, but by compressing it into bales, we can take 30 tons of recycling at a time. So it's saves money on transportation, and then we can be able to still have a sort line out at the recycling center where we can throw out, get rid of the trash, but it makes for a nice clean product that Tucson facility is really happy with.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I can imagine. I mean, those plastic containers, they have a bunch of air, and you compress all that stuff, you could carry way more. Yeah. So I wanted to also ask about the Colonius infrastructure grant for the landfill.
Sure. That's something that our office was asked to be involved in. The landfill has had some issues in the past with the old part of the landfill having an inability to detect whether or not the pipes that collect methane gas were functional underneath it. Hmm. And in order to deal with that, the Environment Department requested that they either close that or they were going to lose their operating permit. If they lost their operating permit, then all of the trash from Grant County would end up having to go to Luna County, and that would be a real big expense to do that. And so they have engineers that study that and determined that, you know, it would take about $750,000 to make the first part of the landfill that was built safe so that they would not have to worry about methane gas escaping mm-hmm. from it.
Yeah.
And so through the Colonius Infrastructure Program, we were able to get funds to do that, and which is rather unusual. Usually the Colonius Infrastructure Funds are used for sewer lines and water lines and road work. So using them for solid waste was not that common. So we're real happy that the Southwest Solid Waste was able to get that. And then that made it possible for them to get their permit extended for another 20 years.
Good. I wanted to ask you, Denise, about another funding stream, and that's through the Interstate Stream Commission funding for water conservation projects.
Yes, the Interstate Stream Commission set aside some money for municipal water conservation. And we applied in a couple of different areas and got both of the grants that we applied for. One was the $500,000 to help install the radio read water meters. And the other part was $18,000 that we got to improve irrigation in parks, which is something I'm working on right now. I'm getting the bids to do that work, and hopefully we'll get it done this next year.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so that's to save water by irrigating more efficiently in city-owned parks?
Yes.
Okay.
We also did a demonstration project of that at Ben Altamirano Ball Field and showed that by putting in the smart watering system where it knows what the current weather conditions are and controls whether or not sprinklers come on, if it's windy or it's already rained, that you can save a lot of water because the ball field was one of the biggest water users in the community.
Uh-huh.
In fact, the biggest water user.
And I have another money question for you, Denise. I understand that you've received money from the Department of Agriculture for the Community Forest Plan and some other activities, and that the town was recently recognized for the development of Johnny Banks Park.
Yeah, the U.S. Forest Service provides funds to the State Forestry Office. And so the Forest Service wanted to see our water harvesting project and hear about our partnerships. Johnny Banks is up on, what is that street?
Gold
Street. And it is a stormwater collection basin, basically. And it was just a basin full of weeds. And what we were able to do there was put in sycamore trees and grass and make it into a park area. And the U.S. Forest Service and State Forestry came down to look at that project. But I also took them to see the Office of Sustainability Orchard, the orchard that is behind the office, and because that has water harvesting features as well.
Oh, I'm really glad you guys did that project on Gold Street. I always kind of looked at that and thought it was kind of a waste of potential. I didn't realize that project had been done.
Oh, go up and look at it. The trees have grown for a couple of years now. They're looking beautiful.
Oh,
the grass is just is gorgeous. Early on, somebody did get in there with a car and do donuts, but it seems like those scars have healed pretty well. I couldn't see it last time I went up.
Yeah. And I just want to ask Terry, I want to ask you a question before the next break, that you've been involved in getting grant funding for parks and other planting projects. Can you tell us about that?
Absolutely. As Denise mentioned, you know, we've been getting involved in forestry plan and other things to improve the forest cover in Silver City. And I looked at two grant programs recently and was able to get funding from both of them. One is Keep New Mexico Beautiful, which is a 501c3 in Albuquerque, and they funded us for getting some trees and plants that we've planted at various locations around town. For example, the cemetery had a big open area on the west side of the cemetery that was just bare dirt, and so we were able to put in some native shrubs there and an irrigation line so that it would be maintained. We've also put in some plants around our office and back in the community orchard. You know, an orchard needs pollinating plants in addition to the fruit trees, and so the Keep New Mexico Beautiful grant helped pay for a lot of native pollinating plants. So that Keep New Mexico Beautiful grant's just finishing up. We also got a New Mexico Clean and Beautiful grant, which is run by the State Department of Tourism. And that included a lot of different aspects of the downtown and Big Ditch, increasing infrastructure in Silver City, getting recycling containers for all of downtown, getting dispensers for bags to collect dog waste, which we're going to start putting throughout downtown as soon as we finish mapping locations for those, then improving some of the plants in the Big Ditch and the irrigation system in the Big Ditch so we can make some areas there that are currently don't have plants a little bit more attractive. And so I've been working on that grant with, it also helped provide an intern that's been working in the office, Grace Van Ness, who's done a great job of helping identify areas where we can put recycling bins and dog waste bag dispensers.
Wow, that sounds great. So I want to talk to you some more about that after we come back from this break. Please stay with us. Welcome back to Earth Matters here on KURU 89.1 FM. This is Donna Stevens, Director of the Upper Gila Watershed Alliance, and your host for today's show. My guests are Denise Smith and Terry Timmy of the Town of Silver City's Office of Sustainability. It really sounds like from some of the things we've been talking about in today's program that your office is highly involved in bringing more plants to Silver City. I wanted to ask you, Denise, does your office work with the Community Orchard Project?
Yes, we did. And what's been created is a beautiful fruit orchard and pollination garden. And I really invite you to come and look at it, spend some time there. But the Office of Sustainability Orchard was a partnership with Kendra Milligan, who brought in the fruit trees. She's working on community accessible fruit tree orchards around our community as well as other communities throughout the county. Street Dynamics, through their NMED grant, so their Environment Department grant where they're doing the curb cuts, they put in some curb cuts there and some very deep basins that whenever we get some good rains, we have good water harvesting that's helping feed the trees and all the plants that are there. We've had a couple of different volunteer groups, YCC groups and community youth building groups that have come and planted more plants, but also done a lot of weeding. As you can imagine, we get the Siberian elm sprouts there.
Right.
And the summer after the monsoon rains, there was a lot of weeds. I'm talking maybe 20, 30 huge bags of weeds that mm-hmm. our partners have helped pull out of that orchard and keep it beautiful.
And you're talking about the orchard behind the Office of Sustainability?
Yes.
And for people who don't know where is your office?
Well, we're on Pope Street. We're at 1108 Pope Street.
1106.
1106 Pope Street. And so it's the old Shamrock gas station.
Right. Okay.
And you can recognize us by the enhancement to the canopy that came about as a result of another grant that we got from PNM that Laban Engels Art helped design what looks like a tree canopy and had a bunch of kids design the leaves on there. So,
Instead of looking like a gas station,
instead of a gas station.
It's a cool hangout spot. Yeah. And I wanted to go back a little bit to the rainwater harvesting or stormwater harvesting, which you've talked about a little bit, Denise. And your office has been involved in trying to mitigate that street flooding and use that water successfully, you know, use it actually instead of just having it be a nuisance, have it be a benefit.
That's right. And Stream Dynamics got a grant from the Environment Department to do these curb cuts. And they reduce the water pollution that's going into streams. And their goal is to put in 80 curb cuts. I think they've done about half of that or maybe a bit more than half of those. And all of them help reduce that stormwater runoff and reduce the maintenance that the town has to do after every storm.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes after a big storm, you see so much gravel on the streets, and it would be really great if the town doesn't have to kind of waste their money cleaning that up after every big rain event.
We got an estimate once that it was about $3,000 cleanup after each storm.
Really? Yeah, seems like kind of a waste of money, right? In the few minutes that we have left in the show, I just want to kind of go back to some of the topics we've been talking about throughout the show. And I wanted to ask you some more questions, Terry, about recycling. I know you've written some grants to the New Mexico Environment Department for the town and for Southwest Solid Waste Authority. What have those grants been for?
Well, we've had a pretty good luck getting grants through a program called RAID, which stands for Recycling and Illegal Dumping Alliance. They've provided funds that we've used to transport tires to Denver City, Texas, where they can get shredded. Because the landfill can't store, you know, tires there at the landfill, and they don't want to bury them in the landfill because it takes up space and can lead to being a fire hazard. So instead of keeping them here in Grant County, we've gotten money to help transport them to a company that shreds them. And then we've got another grant through this RAID program that takes those shredded tires and brings them back to Silver City, and they're going to be used just like they're being used in Santa Clara in the splash park there as a layer on the ground that's covered with plastic. And we're going to be putting that as a solid surface in Penny Park, where there's some of the mulch is right now and around some of the play equipment in the park that has led to injuries. And, you know, it tends to spread out when kids fall off of the playground equipment. So this tire mulch that's covered with plastic will be a safer surface for them to play around.
Yeah, so they can fall onto rubber instead of onto hard ground.
Yeah, so we got the funds for that, but we haven't started the actual project on that yet. And we'll hopefully do that again, do the rest of Penny Park next year. We got only funds for half of it this time around.
Yeah, okay. And it's also really good to not have tires standing around because they collect water and breed mosquitoes.
Absolutely,
Yeah, it's kind of funny how all these things tie together, human safety and health and the environment. I wanted to ask you another question about recycling, Terry, and that is about how the town is changing the curbside recycling program soon. What can you tell us about that?
Absolutely. The direction of the town is going to be to go to a automated collection of recycling, and we're going to take some of the same types of trucks that the town currently uses to pick up trash. You know, people have a choice of three different size trash cans, and then the truck comes along and automatically picks them up and empties them and then takes it to the landfill. We're going to take those same types of trucks, and we're buying 65-gallon carts for the residents to use to collect their recycling in. And the truck will come around and pick up recycling, and it'll take that to the recycling center at Southwest Solid Waste, and then they'll bale it and take it to Reed Community. So the only difference is going to be that you'll get a big cart, and people won't have to go around and manually pick it up. So it's going to make it a more efficient process.
Right.
The other big aspect of it is we're going to still be trying to make as much money as we can off of cardboard. So we're also going to be switching to some other types of collection systems for cardboard that the town will collect, take that out to be baled and sold.
Well, that sounds really great. Denise Smith, Terry Timmy, I want to thank you so much for joining me here today and talking about the Office of Sustainability.
It was a pleasure. Thank you for having us.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm really glad to hear about all this. Thank you, Kyle Johnson. And check out Earth Matters page on GMCR if you want to hear the rest of the show. Thank you.